The presence of God has been so strong. The move of the Spirit, the move of His power. I will instruct us for a few minutes and then we'll take time to pray. But by all means, ask the Lord to release better in your direction. Ask the Lord to suffice you with much of Himself so that you will live here changed. You will live here changed forever. You who reign, you ancient Zion's King, Kadosh, Kadosh, you are mighty on your throne.
I want to thank all the leadership. You are doing a great and an awesome job. And you may not understand the strategic nature of what you are doing, because the scope of what you are doing is not just about the people you are affecting. It's about the vacuum you are feeling in the spirit realm. Most times, the reason ministries are born is not just because it is captured within the context of ordination. Most times, the reason ministries are born is because there are vacuums in the spirit that many have not reason to occupy. So the corporate purpose of God cannot be fulfilled. So when a man is fulfilling a ministry, it's natural for him to judge the significance of his ministry by the work he's seeing on ground. But if God wants to really show you the import of your ministry, He will show you the transgenerational move of God. That's when you would understand the scope and the impact of your ministry. For example, the ministry of John the Baptist did not last for a very long time. The Bible said he was in the wilderness in Luke 1:80 until the day of his showing forth unto Israel. And the moment John emerged, he began to cry. Not too long from then, Jesus showed up. And immediately you hear that I must decrease while he increases. So the scope of his ministry was very short. But in the spirit realm, when Jesus was giving credence to the quality of his ministry, he said, no man born of a woman has been like John. He said he's the greatest of all of them that have existed because of the strategic nature of his ministry. So oftentimes, it's natural for us to judge what we are doing by the location and by the people we are affecting. But until God shows you the calendar of heaven, you will not know how strategic you are. So this morning, we want to begin by quickly acknowledging the labors you have put on ground. And we ask that the Lord will cause it to increase and to be on a progressive rise in the name of Jesus Christ. And for those of us who are here, there will be sessions of impartations, there will be sessions of healings. But I want you to know that what God wants to do with you is beyond healing. It's beyond what you will receive from God. God wants to recruit this generation because of the move that is already in progress. This phase is very significant. I am emphasizing the times so that the things I will share this morning will make meaning to you. Not every moment is the same in the calendar of God. There are certain seasons that are Kairos moments. And for a Kairos moment, as short as it is what gives value to the Chronos moment. A farmer may spend the whole season planting, watering, and watching over the seeds. But the time of harvest is what gives relevance to his labor. So the time of harvest becomes more significant than every other moment. Because if he fails in the time of harvest, he has lost everything that he labored for. So Jesus entering Jerusalem in Luke chapter 19 verse 44, the Bible said he lamented over the city. He said there will be gnashing of teeth. He said no stone shall be left unturned. Why? He said because thou knowest not the times of thy visitation. Jerusalem, the great city of the kings, Jesus said it will be crushed. It will be cold. The reason is because they did not discern the times of their visitation. There are many times when God comes and all he does is that he brings a whisper into your heart. That whisper becomes the instruction for your destiny. You may have attended many meetings, met many men of God, received many impartations, but that whisper that God brings to your heart is the blueprint of your destiny. If you miss it, every other meeting, every other impartation, every other study of the word of God might be a waste. This is why every time we come into the presence of God, it's important to discern what the move of God is for that time. But a lot of believers are not aware. I have traveled for many meetings. I have journeyed to many men of God, and I have met many great preachers. But a point came, I realized that discerning seasons is one of the most cardinal essence of our walk with God. It defines our walk, it defines our value, and it gives credence to our callings and ordinations. Tonight, I want you to be aware that this season is a recruitment season. Most times we come for meetings like this, people want us to stay everywhere while they shout. But the instructions they neglect is what will make them important. I was talking with somebody earlier yesterday, and the point we raised was, we have revival meetings, of course. Glory to Jesus. But I was sharing with someone, and then we said, how did we become what we have become? It's by the progressive instructions that we have received and our compliance to those instructions that have changed our stories. Hallelujah. So this morning, if we don't discern the seasons, we may take things for granted. We may want the service to be as usual, have the same experiences we always have, do the same things we always do, and go back to the same things we do every time we leave meetings like this, and we will not make the most of it. Personally, I believe that transformation is the most important dimension of God that a believer can domesticate. Becoming like God, every other thing follows it, personally. So most times, my burden is to have people transform. And tonight, I'll be sharing a few things with you that will stir a hunger in your spirit and will cause a transformation in your life so that you become relevant eternally with God. You may be anointed, you may not be significant. You may be popular, you may not be significant. You may organize great meetings, you may still not be significant. This is why when you study Bible characters, the doctrines you have received, the teachings you have received, the lives of this man begins to contradict those teachings. Because you don't understand why a man who was in the wilderness all his life, who came out probably for a year or two, becomes more important than prophets that call down fire from heaven. You know, understand why a man who was at the backside of the wilderness, not known, having no status among men, the Bible said he dressed in camel skin, he fed on honey and locusts. How can such a man whose ministry did not span for up to 3 years, how can that man be more important than every other prophet that have lived before him? Ordinations, assignments, accuracy and precision with God. It's important for a generation to discern their Kairos moments. That is when the dealings of God in your life will be important. You may not discern the importance of the dealings of God in your life. You may not know why you started with everybody. It's as if everybody has gone ahead of you and you are in that spot and nothing is making sense in your life. Until you begin to discern the seasons of your life, you begin to discern the weight of your ordination, your dealings cannot make sense to you. Until you know the seasons of God over your life, even the location where God plants you will not make sense to you. This morning, I want to share with us I'm taking it gradually, because when I came in, I saw that we were all soaked. The power of God have moved, you have enjoyed the presence of God, you've danced and everything. So I want to instruct you. Glory to Jesus. So maybe the quota we bring in this morning is just to teach you, and then we'll have time to pray. Why? Glory to God. Would that be a blessing to somebody? Our topic for the conference is Maranatha. And amazingly, that word was used once in scriptures.
the word Maranatha. And it was used with another compound word in scriptures. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 22. Paul said, if there is any one of you that does not love the Lord, if there be anyone among you that does not love the Lord, he said, let that one be anathema, Maranatha. You see, because of the weight of what Paul wanted to communicate, that word could not be captured. You see, the translators had a challenge trying to give definition to those words. Because the word anathema, it means to hang off something that is consecrated. Just like the life of a man is already sold out to God, but that man is removed and kept on a shelf, and you do nothing about that man until the Lord comes. So the essence of this word in itself is not God come, as it has always been interpreted. This word was used to let us know the significance of having relationship with God. So Paul was emphasizing that if a believer, a consecrated person, does not have experiential relationship with God, what happens to that man is that even though he's consecrated, he said that man will be kept on a shelf until God comes. If there be any man that loveth not Jesus Christ, he said let him be anathema Maranatha. That means you can be in the sanctuary of God, but you are kept on a shelf. What it means is that your life no longer strikes a chord in eternity. You are part of the company of believers. You are praying in tongues. You are fasting. You are worshiping with the believers. But because the love of God is not in the chamber of your soul, he said your services have no value. So you may be the one leading the prayer for the whole year, but if by any means the immortals come into the auditorium and they begin to sample the heart of men in order to bring them into depths of stature and ranking with God, he said, even though you are the one on the altar, your position is what? Anathema Maranatha. So your prayer have no value, your fasting have no value, your oratory, your capacity in the church have no value. The reason is because love is not in your heart for Jesus. The significance of this word is not a cry for Lord come. The significance of this word is for people to begin to grow in the love of God. This is why Jesus, diagnosing the condition of the church in Ephesus. The church in Ephesus was a church that was discerning in the spirit. They had understanding. The Bible said they proved the apostles. That means they had depth in spiritual intelligence to the degree that they could judge spiritual things. And even men that had authority in the kingdom of God, they could discern the stature of their calling and determine whether they were accurate with God. They had such level of spiritual intelligence. The Bible said they proved the apostles. It was in the church in Ephesus that Paul taught the highest mystery that he ever learned. But when Jesus was diagnosing the condition of the church in Ephesus from the regions of Zion, Jesus said, you have lost your first love. And because there was no love in that church for God, he said their candlestick will be removed. You know that when the candlestick is removed in heaven, on earth you can be the biggest church, but territorially you have no implication. In heaven you have no relevance, because you are singing praise and worship on earth, but you are not an illumination in the spirit realm. The reason is because there is no love. So you are anathema Maranatha. So everything you are doing is pending until the Lord comes. It's a delicate position for a believer to be. So when we begin to read scriptures like this, these are the times where we apply Selah. We shut down first of all to judge our intention. When you are leading the prayer in church and you are screaming and you are causing vibration, what is your motivation? These kinds of prayer, these kinds of scriptures rather, are scriptures that probe into our heart to judge our essence. What are the things that facilitate? Hope you know, even putting programs like this together costs a lot of money. But what is your motivation? Because when the spirit comes to probe you, he's not so moved by the things you do. It doesn't take a spirit anything to generate any ripple effect. They are the ones that rule the affairs of men. But when a spirit comes to a territory where people are functionaries, what it does is first of all to check. So when I look at scriptures like this, it brings heaviness to my heart.
and then I settle down. This travel that I travel from place to place every other week, what is my motivation? That is why Paul says you can give your body to be burnt, but if you have not love. You see a man who comes, he's burnt to the stake. You say, what kind of man is this? A spirit may judge him and say, the sacrifice that that man has put on the table does not have weight enough compared to a man that gave 1,000 naira. So you can come to a point where your body is not as important as 1,000. Because the man who is giving 1,000 is giving by law. He's motivated by law. But you who went as far as giving your body to be born, when they checked your heart, there was no love there. So Paul said that your sacrifice is useless. So spirit don't judge us based on the weight of what we do. They judge us first of all from the depths of our operation. And one of the things that define our depth is the quality of our love for Jesus. The significance of Maranatha is not Lord come. The significance of Maranatha is who are you before God? What is the quality of your heart? What is the condition of your heart every time you walk with the Spirit of God? It is possible for you to come to a place where you are doing everything you are doing because you are the leader. You may not even discern your condition that you are already falling. Until maybe something goes wrong and they remove you from that position. Then you will now discover that that church will come every day as the first man. Suddenly the zeal dies. You now stroll to church casually and you sit at the back. You are no longer the leader. Your motivation was not love for Jesus. You may discover that you give and you keep giving more than every other person until one day the pastor offends you. Or they didn't recognize you as they should recognize you. All of a sudden, your money goes back to your pocket. You no longer advance the kingdom. At first, you say, you love the kingdom of God, so you can give anything to advance the kingdom of God until they remove the honor that is on your life in the house of God. And then suddenly, you now discover that what was motivating you was not the kingdom advance. What was motivating you was the honor that is upon your life. Your condition is what? Anathema Maranatha. You can be the lead vocalist in the choir. And because every time there's a massive crusade, you are the one that leads. And suddenly they have a program like this. And all of a sudden they say, you will not be the lead solo. This time around, let somebody else do it. And all of a sudden, your zeal for the program you prepared for 8 months, now the program has come, your zeal has died because you will no longer be on the altar. Say your condition is anathema Maranatha. These are scriptures that call us to meditate on our lives. Because the challenge of walking with the Spirit is that He will be patient until the end. If only spirits come to us to tell us, this is your condition, this is your condition, it would have been good. Did you read about Judas? Jesus saw him doing everything he was doing. And even at the 11th hour, Jesus said, that which you must do, do quickly. This guy was heading into his destruction. And Jesus looked at him and said, what? That which you must do, do quickly. What if Judas was notified that the direction you are going, the end is that you will be the son of perdition? It would have helped his destiny. But when a spirit wants to judge you, he waits until the end. And at the end, there is no room to change the game anymore. The story has already been concluded. So he said, if you don't have love. The second thing that scripture reveals to us is that the kicker of the quality of our walk in the Spirit is not our gifts. The checker of the quality of our walk with God is not our charisma. The checker of the quality of our walk with God is not in our capacity. It's in our love for Jesus. If we don't love the Lord, our capacity is vain. Listen, you can come here and genuinely, you are the only man that has the capacity to cause everybody to pray through the night. And that's a very beautiful position to be. Is an exceptional manifestation of the grace of God. But your capacity will be useless if there's no love. The first thing I talked about was motivation. Love is the checker of our motivation. The second thing now is that love is the checker of the quality of our relationship with God. Your capacity is useless unless, first of all, this thing is at the center. Paul finished writing to the Corinthians. Remember, the church in Corinth is the most gifted of all the churches. When Paul wrote to churches, he wrote to churches based on their conditions. Paul was a wise master builder. He didn't write to people because he knew the word of God. You know,
It's one of the temptations of people who are not yet mature. Everywhere you go, you want to display what you have. Maybe you are coming to a place, people have heard about you. So as you showed up there, it's an opportunity for you to display everything that you have. Because to you, it's a statement you are making to where you are going to. But Paul was not like that. When Paul entered the territory, he diagnosed the need those people had in the spirit and he emphasized it. Paul could come to a church and he will not move in any gift of the spirit. He was in Ephesus and for 2.5 years he was only arguing and debating. Because he knew that the problem of the people was that they were given to ideologies and philosophies. So their crisis was not sickness. Their crisis was the fact that philosophies of the Greek theologians had put them in slavery. So throughout his stay in Ephesus, he was arguing. Paul would go to the marketplace and argue from morning to night. And then you will look at him and say, I thought Paul was an anointed preacher. Anointing at that point was not what the people needed. What the people needed was clarity. They needed understanding. So when Paul showed up in the territory, it was the need of the people that determined the dispense of grace in his life. Jesus said to them in John 16:13, he said, I have many things to tell you, but you cannot receive it. That means Jesus did not talk to people because he knew. Jesus spoke to people because of their needs. I have many things to tell you, but you can't receive it. How be it, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. Verse 12, I have many things to tell you, you can't receive it. How be it, when the Spirit of truth is come. So Jesus himself, even though he was the completeness of the word of God, he did not just talk because he knew all things. Jesus tells you what you need by time. As you are now, there are things you need for tomorrow. Jesus will keep it until tomorrow comes. Jesus will tell you what you need for today in order to execute his counsel for your life today. Even though he knows what you will need in the next 20 years, he may not tell you. And he may even speak and he will hide it from you. You will hear it or you can't have understanding. So, when a man gains maturity, he addresses people at the point of their need. Paul will come to Galatia. And all Paul was doing in Galatia was to use his apostolic authority to establish them back to grace. Because the legalists wanted to draw them back to the law. Paul would come to Corinth. The people were carried away by gifts. And they were living in sin. Yet, they were judging their maturity by their gifts. So somebody comes to church and he flows in word of knowledge for 4 hours. And they say, this man has stature. This man has stature. So Paul came and said, you are babes. You are carnal. And then he began to show them the importance and the administration of the gifts of the Spirit. So the reason he taught them was because they needed to have understanding as to what really mattered, not what they could do. He came to Ephesus and the argument was to correct their theology. The reason is simple. Because what they needed per time is what God was doing in their lives. And I'm using that to explain to you that if you don't have love for God, your capacity is vain. So a man comes for a meeting, you think you came to see certain things, but there is an issue in your life. That's what God wants to address. This morning, what is the quality of the love of God in your heart? You can lead prayer on the altar for 10 hours. How long do you pray in your bedroom? You can give on the altar for the poor because they made a call to give to the poor and you walk to the altar to drop something. But when you see the poor on the street, how often do you give to them? You can lead worship here for 3 hours and you are leading the worship, you are crying. When was the last time you worshiped God in your room and cried? Capacity is useless without the love of God. Maranatha is not just Jesus come. Maranatha is the definition of the quality of our relationship with God. Thirdly, Maranatha speaks of maturity, spiritual maturity. One of the crises of the church, of the body of Christ today, is that there are too many babes on the platform. One of the crises in the house of God today is that there are too many babes doing too many things in the house of God. So the more we do what we do, the more room we open to territorial spirits to have influence in the house of God. Most times,
demons are shielded from the house of God, we begin to walk. If we were not carrying out activity on the altar, demonic influences would have been reduced. But every time we come here, we open up chambers for operation of the demonic realm, because our life is full of too many garbages. The man who is leading the worship, he comes up and to him is a show. He doesn't understand that what he's doing is a hallowed thing, and he should do it with fear and trembling. The man who is ministering, when he comes up, to him is a show, either of how much scripture he knows, or of his skill of handling scripture, or of how anointed he is. What he doesn't realize is that his life is supposed to be a gate through which God flows into the auditorium. The man who is on the pulpit, his goal is to prove a point that he is the current most anointed person, and that there are many things he can do. Meanwhile, while he was on the altar, God was emphasizing something different, but he's under pressure. Even the man who invited the preacher is under pressure for the show. He's not bothered about what God wants to tell the people. And it's all about carnal manifestations. The reason is simply because we don't have maturity. This is why many revivals are truncated. People begin to call upon the name of the Lord genuinely. The devil say, wait, let them do what they are doing. At the end of the day, that spiritual investment will be a waste, because he knows that they've not given themselves to the protocol of the spirit to face to maturity. So it is when God is actually this that confusion comes in. So you see five people that love themselves, pressing after God, pushing after God. The devil is not troubled. He knows the zeal they have, he can't stop them. So instead of wasting his resources stopping them, he allows them to continue with their prayer. And then these people pray until God now anoints one, and his eyes open, and he becomes the prophet. And every time they are praying, that one begins to prophesy. The next thing, the four others go back and they begin to gossip the one that is prophesying. The devil have not come in, but their immaturity have destroyed what God is doing. The devil doesn't need to come among believers that are not mature. Their immaturity will destroy what God is doing. And if God helps the four others, and they are supporting the one who is prophesying, all of a sudden, the one who is prophesying becomes a king. He now wants to go out, he tells them to clean his shoes. Because all of a sudden, all the honorarium now comes to him. Because people are looking for the one that can perform. All of a sudden, all the honor comes to him. Meanwhile, five of them began. The ministry suddenly becomes for the one who is gifted. And then the ones who are not gifted, he tactically pushes them out. In fact, he will be the one to purge them from the system. They started as five men that God gave a vision, but only him became anointed. What he will do is that he will make sure these four never exist in that vision. He will purge them from that vision and raise a new generation, because he doesn't want people at his level. Meanwhile, the mandate that God gave was for five. And not knowing that he's ostracizing the other four, have already destroyed the potential of what God wants to do. Immaturity in the house of God. We think it's about things. We think it's about show. So every time we come before God, our focus is not Jesus. Our focus is things. You see people fasting and praying for a whole year. You ask them what is their motivation. They want to flow in word of knowledge. To what end? They don't even have body for souls. So word of knowledge is to come on the altar and to manifest. And then people say, oh boy, that guy's forensic. His goal is satisfied. For everybody to talk about them, that they are forensic. Somebody is praying for power for 1 year. You ask him, what is the problem? He doesn't even have body for the sick. You will think he's calling for power because he is tired with the oppression of the devil. You think he wants to do something because he cannot tolerate what the devil is doing to people anymore. When you check his life, it is only power that we announce him. So what is pursuing his announcement? It has nothing to do with God and his kingdom. Immaturity. So we mature in the minors. Our focus are not on things that have eternal value. But when spirits come to weigh your work, they will not be moved by your abilities. They will be moved by the exactness, the accuracy of your touch with God. I told them the other time, Noah for 100 years was flowing in unstopped discernment of spirits. Every dimension of the ark that Noah built, Noah was seeing it in the spirit and building it in the natural. When God came, the Bible never recorded about his discerning ability. All the Bible looked at was his heart. He said he feared God. When God spoke, he said he moved with fear. So that was the only thing that pleased God. Among men, you may say, oh boy, this guy is anointed. Oh. So he will go to heaven. He will look and say, Kai, 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 that place you put that nail, when I saw in heaven, there is no nail there. Remove that nail and put the nail this side. You say, Jesus. Is it heaven? Somebody is looking at like this. That thing will wow men, not spirits. When God showed up, what moved God was the heart of Noah. He said Noah was moving constantly in fear. The fear of God was what gave Noah credence in heaven. Maturity. Maturity to be able to handle spiritual things with honor and dignity is lacking. We are here now, you think we love God. Wait until God drops something on us. Wait until all of us here begin to touch substance. Maybe suddenly gets a job and begins to earn money in 6 digits. That's when you will see him call you and say, come to the house and tell me about the program. The person that was running around and you say, this person is humble. Wait until he has money in his account. Wait until everybody talks about it. The guy that easily apologizes whenever he's wrong. And you say, God has helped his heart. Wait until he has power. So we expend ourselves pursuing after the things God has offered, not God. And when those things come, those things become the reason why we are destroyed. Why do you pursue after word of knowledge? Why do you pursue after the healing anointing? Why do you pursue after open doors? Why do you pursue after platforms? Why do you pursue after a good voice? Why do you pursue after deliverance power? Is it for Jesus and his kingdom? Or is it because you think that's what will make you? It is immaturity. But when we discern correctly what is the body in the heart of the Father, our priorities will change. Our priorities are wrong because we are babes. That's why the Bible said in Ephesians 5:27, it said that God is coming for a church without spot or wrinkles. So what we invoke the coming of Jesus, our ability to come to a point of perfection. When we have gained maturity and we know how to handle hallowed matters, then at that point, we are able to call on Maranatha. So Maranatha is not necessarily a prayer. They call Maranatha a contemplative prayer, but it is beyond it. Maranatha is not necessarily a prayer. Maranatha is actually a state of the heart. When the church comes to maturity, naturally, the Lord will come. This is the reason why God gave the fivefold. He said to some, he came to be apostles. Ephesians 4:11. To some, he gave to be prophets. To some, he gave to be evangelists, pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Until we all come to the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ. Maturity. But maturity is lacking in the body of Christ. Many investment of God in lives have been wasted because the church is not growing. Many investment. Most times, the reason Christians, the believers, and the body of Christ is pushed to a corner as if it has no power. It's not because there's no investment of divinity. It's because we are immature. God releases everything we need to have territorial influence, but we are immature. One person has power and he runs away and he thinks it's about self. One person is enabled, he runs away. One person is blessed, he runs. A corporate gathering that God is raising in order to have ranking to be able to challenge darkness. All of a sudden, that gathering scatters because God begins to bless them. Maranatha is a call for maturity. What is the quality of Christ that is formed in your heart? Paul said for him, one of the reasons he's motivated to pray is so that Christ can be formed in the heart of his children. He said, my little children, of whom I travail again in prayer, that Christ be formed in you. Paul knew that was the first and the heaviest molecule of divinity in the life of a man. If Christ is not formed, then every other thing God gives is a waste. What is the quality of your maturity? To what extent have you grown about the things of God? The things that motivate you, why do you desire them? Maranatha. Fourthly, Maranatha is an awakening call for the gospel to be preached to the ends of the earth. The Bible said in Matthew 24:14, it said, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached as a witness to all the nations of the world. He said, then the end will come. Every time we pray and ask God, come, the waste. There are things that scriptures have outlined as precursors for the coming of God. This is one of them. Because when you say Maranatha, you say Lord come. But it is not to call him to come. They are precursors. God himself has instituted these precursors to bring about the release of the Spirit. What are those precursors? This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached as a witness. What is the quality of your witness? The class where you are, the hostel where you are, the school where you are, what is the quality of your witness? Scriptures like this are cause of awakening. It is a beautiful thing to join the choir. It's a beautiful thing to join the prayer band. And we come to church and excite ourselves so much. But our immediate friends don't feel the vibration. Our immediate family don't feel the vibration. Our roommates don't feel the vibration. That means what we are doing here is fake. If I call myself a preacher and it has not affected my friends and my family, what I am doing is caricature. I am only reciting what I heard. A parrot can do a better job. But if there is witness in my life, it should affect everybody around me. That's why everybody that came around Jesus became a preacher. That was the kind of life he was living. So there was no way you came around Jesus and it doesn't affect you. You could come as a fisherman. You could come as a tax collector. You could come as a sinner. But if you meet him, something will happen to you. You will become who he is. What is the quality of our witness? That's one of the calls that scriptures like 1 Corinthians 16:22 gives us. They call for witness. How much of God can you demonstrate to your world? Is it about tonguing in church? Now we have so reduced the value of prayer. As hard as prayer is, all prayer is now is time. It's now time. We pray for 7 hours. We pray for 10 hours. We pray for 12 hours. The question is not how long you are praying. The things you are praying about, how much of it is happening. I told them in Lagos last week, I said, if you want to judge the quality of your territorial intercession, don't judge it by how long you pray. Judge it by the texture of the life of God that is seen in that territory. The elders of old, they knew what to look at. These guys, sometimes they tarried in prayer for 10 days. Nobody goes home. You will never hear it in scripture that they prayed for 10 hours. Because even though how long we pray is important, the go is not the time. The go is the effect of the prayer. People praying, but their tongue is a lying tongue. People fasting, but their tongue is a lying tongue. And they never pay attention to it. They come to church and pray, and the moment they go out of the church building, they are different people. So even the devil will allow, go and pray. When you finish, come back. Let's do business together. Meanwhile, the goal of the prayer is for you to come into intimacy with God so that you can carry God to your world. But you have missed the priority. The goal is no longer witnessing. The goal is now a show of what we can do. So we waste spiritual things. Jesus said, don't give spiritual things to the swine. He will take it from you and stamp. He will tramp it underfoot. People praying for graces to make a show out of is a heart cry. The Bible spoke about the disciples. Just a handful of them. The Bible said, these be the men that turn their worlds upside down. In our day today, our priority is the number of people we can sit in our auditorium. It's no longer about the effect of our message in our territory. Meanwhile, the Bible said concerning the apostles, he said they have littered the whole of Jerusalem with their doctrine. That means the guy who is selling in the market is talking the language of the apostles. The guy who is working in the bank is talking the language of the apostles. They said they turned their words upside down. Is there anything wrong with a large congregation? No. But what is the effect in the territory? Maranatha. A call for witnessing. You have been a Christian for 5 years. Up till now, nobody comes to you because they can't see God in you. So there can be no experience of the return of Jesus in your life. You may deceive yourself and tell yourself a whole lot of things, but Jesus cannot be seen in your life. You have been a believer for 10 years. Nobody can come to you and say, sister, give me godly counsel. I'm not talking about somebody who is sick and say, come and pray for me. Nobody has seen God in your life enough to have a challenge and say, please, what do I do? Nobody has seen enough in your life to come to you and say, please help me. I have a challenge. I don't know what the devil is doing in my life. There is no witness. There is no sufficient witness. But the Bible said in 2 Peter 2:9, it said, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. It said, God's own special people, a peculiar nation. He said, called forth to show. So it's not just about being now. It is to be enough that you can demonstrate. He said, to show forth the virtues, the perfections, and the excellencies of him that have called you to glory and virtue. But the witness of our life is not sufficient. Because we have not come to a point where our life is a complete committer to God. Maranatha. This is why you may cry, Lord, come, Lord, come, Lord, come. Your voice will not ascend beyond your ceiling. You may do it and cry. And when you are done crying for 3 hours, you will feel comfortable. That's biochemical reaction. Your loudest statement about the call of Jesus to come is the quality of your witness. It's because of few men that we are gathered like this. What if we had 20 of you? So we run to programs now to see somebody stand on the altar and demonstrate. And the man of God prepares himself to come and perform. But when the apostles came out, the quality of their preaching was not their dexterity of scripture. The quality of their preaching was not their excellent communication. The quality of their preaching was the transformation in the lives of people. He said the reason they were apostles is for the perfecting of the saints. So the man is preaching well if people are transformed. If people are not transformed, no matter how intelligent he sounds, he's not preaching well. Paul said, I, beloved, 1 Corinthians 2, from verse 1 to 4, he said, when I came unto you, came not I with excellency of speech, declaring unto you the counsel of God. He said, I choose not to know anything among you but Christ and him crucified. He said, when I came, my preaching and my word was in the demonstration of spirit and power. Why? He said, that your faith. So everything Paul was doing had nothing to do with himself. He said, because of your faith. The reason I preached the way I preached, the reason I acted the way I acted was your faith. He said, that your faith will not be built in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. That's a man that knows priority. That's a witness. Let me tell you a short story. It doesn't take God anything to make you. It doesn't cost a spirit anything, whether be it the Holy Spirit or a demonic spirit. Most times what spirit look at before they begin to raise a man is the quality of the witness that that man can produce. It takes a spirit nothing to make you. Overnight, your name can be noised around the nations. It takes God nothing. It also takes a demon nothing. Early this year, I heard of 2 dirty young boys who were somewhere around Ajegunle in Lagos. They just did a video rapping and they put it on Instagram. And in two weeks, they had 99,000 views. Why? Because one of the superstars carried the video and shared it and wrote a comment about the potential the boys had. In that same 2 weeks, these guys were picked from where they were. They did a collab with one of the top music guys, and in 2 weeks they became superstars. These guys were about 16 years, 17 years old. So what they could not achieve by their family lineage, by their family heritage, and by their age or their life, they had it in 2 weeks. By law of natural selection, they were not given advantage to prosper because they were born into poor homes, into poor territories. By reason of age, they have not even come up to provide for themselves, but the spirit alighted on them. And in 2 weeks, their story changed. It doesn't take a spirit anything to make you. The question is, what is the quality of your witness? If God empowers you today, what will the effect be in the spirit realm? Those are the things that bother the spirit. Because when it places its influence on your life, in 1 week your story can change. But what will be the quality of your influence? What will be the quality of your witness? Are you the type that all of a sudden when you get... You know, the Bible said something in 1 Timothy chapter 3. Paul said, never raise a novice. He said, when he is risen, the devil will take advantage of him and he will bring reproach to the body. What God judges in our lives truly is the quality of our witness. But many are not aware. This is why every time your priorities must be right. The first thing that determines your accuracy is not how much scripture you know. It's the love you have for Jesus in your heart. You can't deny it. If it is there, it is there. If it is not there, it's not there. Every time you move, I love the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Ghost is like an alarm in your heart. He will never keep quiet. He will keep blowing that alarm. Every time you take an action, the Holy Ghost will tell you your motivation. As you came up to worship God, if your consciousness is on your dress, the Holy Ghost will tell you. He will never keep quiet. That is one of the things he came to do in your life. Because he came to perfect you. If your consciousness is your skill, the Holy Ghost will tell you. He will not keep quiet. Because the goal is to bring you to a point where the love of God becomes chief cornerstone in your heart. And if that is not achieved, everything you are doing in time may be a waste. Everything you look out for may be a waste. Everybody Jesus healed died again. So you should know that Jesus is more interested in you than your healing. Even though he paid the price for your healing, he's more interested in your soul. Everybody, even the ones Jesus raised from the dead, they died again. But what will make you eternally relevant? He invested all his life in his 12 disciples and those that followed him. Those ones live with him forever. He said they will sit with him on 12 thrones to join the 12 tribes of Israel. So he met who is sick. He spent 1 second with that person. He goes away. But the disciple that is not healing, he spent 3 years with him. At the end of the day, that disciple becomes eternally relevant. But the guy that was healed is lost. You don't hear about him anymore. Why do you think spirits behave the way they do? Eternal relevance. This morning, the first question is that, do you really love the Lord as you make it look? When you come to church and you do all you do, is Jesus truly your motivation? When you hear the word of God, is it Jesus you are looking for? Nowadays, I haven't become so careful. You are preaching the gospel, people are clapping because of the way you are talking. And then you hear people trying to score what you said. So I became scared. I went back to the Lord. I'm like, what is this? I was in Ibadan, ministering to the teenagers. And I told them, please say after me. I don't want patterns. I don't want dimensions. I don't want potters. I want to hear God. So, nowadays, if you come to a place where they've heard your message before, you haven't careful. Because you may start preaching and people are clapping, you think they are scared. It's what you are saying that is impressing them. They will need the meeting, no transformation. So nowadays, I come to ask you questions. Because if you go home, you will remember the question. What motivates your action in the house of God and outside of the house of God? Do you know why people are different in church? Do you know why people sustain a disposition in church that is different from their disposition out there? They want to create impression. Their true state is when you meet them in the market, when you meet them on the campus. That's who they are. But when they come to church, all of us want to create impression that we know God. But if the love of God is established in your heart, even when nobody sees you, you will live because you have a relationship. You will live because you know Him. You will live because He is one with you. That's the goal of the Father. What is it that motivates your actions in the church? It is a beautiful thing that we've come and we stayed awake all night. You may think God is so impressed because we are awake. When God comes here to carry out a census, what He will be checking is our heart. He said, Samuel looked at Uriah, and he was excellent in all his look. And he said, no, it is the destiny of man to look at the outward. That's why we come and we want to impress ourselves, because we know it is the destiny of man to look at the outward. He said, but I look at the heart. If you know that the one before whom you have to do is not seeing your look and the excellence of your demonstration, but is looking at your heart, your message will change. Your gesticulation will change. Your disposition will change. Because before that one looks at your outward, he will look at your heart. A man showed up in the natural, he was without blemish, but his heart was not fit. Another man, the Bible said he was rooted, he was in the backside of the desert, but his heart was accurate. And God said, go and anoint him. What is it that motivates you? You may have the best voice in the choir, but it's not your voice they hear in heaven. The one that his voice pierces through the veil into Zion is the one that sings with a pure heart. That's the one that his voice is echoed in eternity. You may be singing on earth with the best voice, and you think, because people are emotional beings, they are crying, they are falling, you think, oh, you are doing something. But you will be shocked that when a spirit pays attention, the echo he's hearing, your own, is not part of it. Because he's hearing you not through your tongue, he's hearing you through your heart. Your vocabulary in the spirit comes through your heart, not through your mouth. But many are not aware. That's why we come to church, we do the things we do. That's why we come to church. It's all about impressing people. It's all about everything we do is trapped in the natural. And the princes in darkness, they are aware. So the devil will give you many reasons why you should build your life around yourself. So that self becomes the circumference of your reality. But men who understand how the Spirit of God works, they leave flesh, they leave self, and they journey into the womb of the Spirit. They ask God, Lord, what will you have me do? You can come for a meeting and God says, sing, and you sing and go home. Because you are first of all connected to Him before you are connected to the people. You can come for a meeting, you have a message. While you are the altar, on the altar, Jesus tells you to change the message and to say what he wants to say. Meanwhile, this message is a message that every time you preach it, everywhere scattered. But today, Jesus said, change it. You can come for a meeting. You want to sit in front and cross your leg because you dress well. Jesus tells you, sit at the back. That is not doctrine. It is intimacy. It is love. It is relationship. You can come to a place, you carry the microphone to lead the song. You were the one that practiced. But Jesus tells you, your heart is not right. And then you humbly hand that microphone to somebody else because you are more interested in preserving your relationship with him than to create a show before men. And that day, even though you have the best voice, you will give the mic away. You will be shocked that your worship in giving that mic away will be louder than the whole chorus of the choir. Because a spirit has seen that you are interested in him, not in things. These are the things men don't know. When I realized that it is God that makes men, I decided to travel in the direction of God. You will do a lot of things. You will think your charisma will open doors for you. You will think your anointing will open doors for you. You don't know the spirit that manipulates this realm. You will be the most anointed, but it is the guy that you despise that God will alight upon. That's why men fight men. That's why men have envy and jealousy. You are in the fellowship, you thought you are the one who is more special. And then God comes and anoints the least expected. And then you can't believe it. Why will God anoint Daniel? What does he have that I don't have? You don't know spirits. You only know men. If you know spirit, you will change your disposition. What does Sandra have that is always about her? No, it's not what she has. It's her heart. Because every time that spirit comes with influence, it drops it on the heart of those who are perfect before him. You will carry your charisma and you will remain in one cubicle until one day you wake up with gray hair. And then you become an elder there. But the guy that you think has no future in God, that's the one that God will announce to the whole nations. And that man can only sing a song, God will sit on that song. He will preach a short message, God will sit on the message. People will hear it and they will say, who is this? It is a spirit at work. But it begins with a heart that is perfect before the Lord. You may look at yourself and say, I'm not qualified. God can't use me. You now sit down, you see Sister Mary, every time she carries the microphone, everywhere is shaking. You now say, but I can never be like Sister Mary. It is not men that God used to judge. The Bible says they that compare themselves with themselves are not wise. Why God will use you is because of your heart. There were many orators in Israel. It was Moses the stammerer God came from. Many orators. Many grew up as Israelites. They knew the ways of Israel. Moses, who grew in the palace of Pharaoh, was the one God came from. First of all, the Bible said he was cool and skilled in all of the ways of Egypt. So Moses was an Egyptian by training. But that was the one God came from. How about the guy who was of the Levite family, who was skilled in scripture? Why would God leave all of them and come for Moses? God needed a man to speak for him. Why would you come for an orator? Because God sees the heart. All of them were in Egypt. Nobody had body for Israel. Only Moses had body. All of them were crying for deliverance. Nobody had body. Only Moses. So God checked his heart and came for him. What is the quality of your heart, Pastor? I'm telling you this because most of you are young. Listen, you may attend many meetings. They are very important, but they will not make you. You will meet many anointed men of God. They will lay hands on you. They are very important because those things they drop for you, they are seeds in your spirit. When God begins to raise you, those seeds will come alive. But those things alone cannot make you. Your journey into prosperity in the things of God begins when your heart becomes right with you. A man whose heart is corrupt, even God can't help you. That's why God could not help Judas. The heart was already destroyed and compromised. Even Jesus could not help him. The same error that Judas committed was the same error that Peter committed. All of them betrayed Jesus. But one had the right heart, another one had the wrong heart. If your heart is wrong, you are lost. Every time we want to walk with God, we want to journey in the way of the Spirit, before we pursue after things, we first of all work on our heart. You will call upon the Lord every day and tell the Lord, I am callous. I am pursuing you because I want your anointing. I am pursuing you because I want fame. I am pursuing you because I want influence. I don't love you. Help my heart. The moment God begins to help the heart of a man, that man is preparing himself for greatness. The men that God sends us for greatness are the men that their hearts are right towards him. Paul said, he said, if a man does not love the Lord Jesus Christ, he is anathema maranatha. His condition is that he should be kept waiting for God, because even we cannot discern his end. What is the quality of your heart? There are many things that you can do in this kingdom. There are many potentials you have, especially for some of us who are gifted. Our case is worse, because it will be difficult for us to slow down. A man who can talk, he doesn't need God to help him when he comes to preach. He knows what to say. He understands human psychology. As I am now, I know what I will begin to say in the next 5 minutes, and this hall will turn around. Now, I know what to say in the next 5 minutes. Many of you here will begin to cry. I know what to say in the next 5 minutes, and this place will begin to boil. The power of God will come here. That's the greatest undoing of a man who is charismatic, a man who is gifted, is that he can easily rely on his gift and not God. It is difficult for that man to ask God, what will you have me do? The only day that man is yielded to God is the day he's disadvantaged. The day he tries to shake himself as at other time and it doesn't work, that's when he will cry. Did you read about Samson? Did you ever read that Samson called on the name of the Lord? He never did until his hair was cut off. It is the day his gift is lost that he remembers God. Every man who is gifted finds it difficult to lean and to rely on God, unless God helps his heart. Every time Samson has a challenge, the Bible says he shook himself. And then the hair starts and he begins to do what he wants to do. He never consulted with God until the day his eyes were plumbed out. That's when Samson realized that his help comes from the Lord. Never be at that position. You must always put your heart and allow God to censor your heart. When you come to pray for 10 hours, instead of you to pray and go to tell people that I pray for 10 hours, use that period as the period of the heart check. Tell the Lord to check your heart. Tell the Lord to try your reins. The Bible said, the Lord tests the heart. He tries the reins to give to every man as his way should be. Tell the Lord to censor your heart. Some of us are callous. We are not aware. Your heart. What is the quality of your heart, first God? Many of us have lost our love for God. The reason we come for meeting and we wait is because we are trusting God that by all means, the man of God will pray for the sick. And we heard that every time he prays, the sick are healed. And the moment we are healed, we go back to our world. We will not be relevant like that for too long. Many of us, the reason we pray and fast is because we are looking for an anointing. An anointing will not make you relevant with God. It is your heart that will make you relevant. What is the quality of your heart towards God? What is the condition of your heart towards God? Have you checked it in recent times? Have you checked the things you think about? Have you checked your motivation? Some of the things you do, if you sat down to check your heart, you will wonder, is it me that did this? I have done many wicked things, and when God opened my eyes to see, I broke down. You will think you are special, you will think you are good, until God opens your eyes. Isaiah was a prophet on earth. Everybody hailed him. He was a national prophet until the day heaven opened. And when he appeared before God, he said, "Woe unto me." This is a man that prophesied to nations. But the moment he appeared before God, the first prophecy he gave to himself was damnation. He said, "Woe unto me, I'm a man of unclean lips." He never knew the condition of his heart. His gift had beclouded his senses. He thought it was all about prophecy. But when God appeared before him, he saw for the first time that his heart was evil and his mouth was corrupt. On earth, he was a prophet, but in heaven, he was a liar. In heaven, he was a man condemned. What is the quality of your heart? Don't wait until you go to eternity before you now realize that everything you do, your heart condemned it. Every time you gave out money and you sacrificed so much, your heart condemned your giving. Even when you were killed for Jesus and you thought you will receive the crown of life, your heart condemned it. None of your sacrifice count because your heart was wrong. All those times when you came to church, you trekked under the rain, you came and worshiped God, all the rehearsals, all the vigils, you now go to heaven and discover it was a waste because your heart destroyed everything you did for God. Don't wait to heaven. Don't wait until you get to heaven to discover. While you're on earth, the Bible says you should check your heart. Ask the Lord to try your heart. Ask the Lord to test your heart and to reveal to you, because you want to love him for who he is. Jesus went to heaven, and when he came back, he gathered his disciples and he called Peter. He said, "Lovest thou me more than this?" I thought it was about leadership skill. I thought it was about charisma. I thought it was about ordination. Jesus came to Peter and he zeroed it. He said, "Lovest thou me more than this?" What will make you lead the body is not because you are there by ordination. What will make you lead the body is not because you are the wisest. What will make you lead the body is not because you are the special. It's because the love, my love, is engraved in your heart. He said, "Lovest thou me?" He asked him 3 times. The Bible said Peter was grieved. And Peter said to him, "Lord, you know." And it was on the basis of Peter's love that he said, "Keep my sheep. Keep my sheep. Keep my sheep." A man who has no love for God has no assignment for God. Everything you are doing is a waste. You are self-deceived. Tonight, the first question is, what is the love of God in your heart? I didn't come here to display to you the things I can do. I came here to invite you into something that God wants you to be a part of. It may look as if you are not relevant. You may be a stammerer. You may be a man who is so young in age. You may be a man who has nobody to help you. You have no exposure. All of that thing is nothing. The spirit that relates with you is your advantage. But what will beat you is the quality of your heart. If your heart can be set aright, your age will not count. Your deformities will not count. Your inabilities will not count. If only your heart is right before God. We are a generation that have a wrong heart, a wrong motive, a wrong intention. The question tonight is, do you really love Jesus? It is simple and basic, but that is what will determine how far you will go in this kingdom. Do you love Jesus? I know you say a lot of things about God. I know they call you a prophet. I know they call you a psalmist. I know they call you a minstrel. But the question tonight is, do you love Jesus? Do you love Jesus? I know you can give all your money. You have emptied your bank account before. But do you love Jesus? I know you have traveled to the forest before to do evangelism. But the question is that, do you love Jesus? If you don't love Jesus, everything is a waste. It's as simple as that. It's as plain as that. We begin from the position of love. was born an orator. While I was on campus, they summoned some of us to talk on our Luther platforms. We had powers on our tongue. We could turn the minds of people around. I didn't know that the devil had used it to invest darkness into my soul. I didn't know that my oratorial power was given to me to communicate the counsel of God. I thought I was being famous and popular on campus. I never knew that my destiny was to communicate Jesus to my world. Darkness enters here. It took God many years of breaking, crushing, and dealing, and he's still working on that heart. Because it's the extent to which God works on your heart that he will take you out. A man whose heart is not refined has no place in Zion. A man whose heart is not perfect before the Lord has no place in the kingdom. Because when the Spirit comes to judge you, he begins with the texture of your heart. Do you love Jesus? It's a simple question this morning, but many cannot answer it all their life. Even when they get to eternity, they'll be confounded. You don't love him. Many workers of miracles today don't love Jesus. You think they love God, wait until God gives them influence. That's when they begin to build institutions and systems. It's no longer about God. Even the people around them, there are things they use to achieve their purpose. A man can give his life for another man's vision, and then he comes back carelessly and acts as if the man is not important. I saw my friends that carried blocks on their head to build churches. But when the pastors were made, those guys were nothing because the men never cared about them. They were all puppets that they were using to build their vision. They don't care about them because the love of God is not here. If the love of God is not here, men will be a tool. Money will be a tool for achieving your personal interest. And when God comes, your whole work will be lost. No matter how influential you are among men, you will not be relevant among spirits. I don't desire to be famous. I don't desire to be popular among men. I desire to be popular in the realm of God. When I come to heaven, let the immortal stand and say, a noble son, I've come back home. Those were the things that informed the pursuit of men like Paul. He said, I have run my race. I have finished my course. They awaited me a crown of glory. As far as Paul was concerned, whether you clap for him, it doesn't mean anything. Whether you insult him, it doesn't mean anything. Whether you give him money, it doesn't mean anything. His focus was in Zion. For such a man, men don't impress them. I'm not moved because you clap. I'm not moved because you sang a song in my name. I'm not moved because you insulted me. I've come to realize that men are only relevant in Zion. On earth, everything is a lie. Time itself will vanish. Your looks will vanish. Everything that you invested for in time will vanish away. If you are 30 years old, you would have been educated enough. When you were young, you looked handsome, you looked beautiful. Now that you are growing older, you are becoming another creator. Because nothing in time has an eternal foundation. It is only in Zion that the foundation of the life of man is built. But for you to be relevant in Zion, the heart factor. Do you love Jesus? Do you love Jesus? We are going to pray again. But this time around, the focus of our prayer is not to vibrate this beauty. Is to vibrate our heart so that the chaff and the garbage will fall off. So that the debris that the devil has planted will fall off. For you to be relevant, something must happen to your heart. Something, God must have to do a surgery in your heart. You want to pray now? Rise up to your feet. Necessarily that you are a sinner, but there is something wrong. Every time you give money, but something's wrong. Every time you did something, something's wrong. It's never about Jesus. You don't know why you can't love him.
Come, I want to pray with you. Before we begin to pray, I just feel, let's do this matter quickly. God say you can give your body to be burnt. He said, but if you have not love, it's a waste. Is it possible that all your sacrifices in the kingdom up until now is a waste because of your heart? Is it possible that all your preaching is a waste? That you will be done preaching to the sinner, but you will be a castaway because of your heart? Is it possible that all your giving, some of you have given your school fees as sin? Is it possible that that will be a waste because of your heart? I want to give you an opportunity one more time. You don't know your heart. The Bible said the heart of man is desperately wicked. You want God to help your heart. Come out quickly. If I kept it complex, you may go back and hear the message again and again to understand. If I went the way of mysteries, it may inspire you, but you may not understand me. I made it plain. Because God needs a people that he can work with. A people that he can use. Not to use them, but so that they can have relevance in Zion. The Bible said he has not called the seed of Jacob in vain. But it's possible for you to be called in vain if your heart is not right. You can become like the son of perdition. Check your heart again. For those of you who are in front, you can begin to talk to the Lord. You ask him to help your heart. Ask the Lord to help your heart. You'll be amazed that that might be the most important prayer you will pray this year. That God should help your heart. It will travel with you into eternity.